It's time to swing into the golf world of today with Springdale Golf Live, sponsored by our friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Here's your host, Keith Stewart.
Members, friends, and players, good afternoon and welcome to Springdale Golf Live. I'm Keith Stewart, and I'll be here entertaining you this Friday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Fox Sports 920 AM. That's 920thejersey.com. Follow me on social media at KJPGA on Instagram, Twitter. Don't forget LinkedIn. Here we go. There it is, Al. The Go-Go's.
Oh, yeah.
We got the beat. We got the beat. All right. One of the iconic songs of summer from back in the 1980s. And one of the reasons that we brought it up as the song of the week was to get everybody kind of fixated. It's, you know, officially summertime. We've passed the July 4th milestone of each and every calendar year. And now we're getting into what we talked about last week a lot, which was junior golf at the club. And we just finished week two of junior golf. And, you know, the kids got the beat. And that song always reminds me of being a kid and seeing it in that famous movie back when I was in my younger years, Al. And that's why I made it the song of the week. And appreciate you queuing that up for me. And hey, Al,
no problem.
Did you have a good 4th of July?
I had a great 4th of July. And you and the family?
Unbelievable. Good. It was just great. You know, I'm glad you asked, because every year at the club, we have this event called the Firecracker. And we had over 100 players, and, you know, another 50 or so came out for a barbecue following.
Right.
And, you know, the weather was hot, but it's summertime.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Central Jersey, and you know, my weather app says humid, so it's correct. And so we had a great time over at the club, and you know, the usual fanfare that takes place on the 4th of July, and it was just an awesome day. And you had one as well?
I did.
Awesome.
Yep. Had a good time. Now, you weren't out on the course today, were you, with this weather?
I was not out on the course today. Okay. And, you know, the weather today has been a bit unpredictable.
Yeah.
You know, it rained very, very heavily. And truth be told, I spoke to God yesterday, and we have the men's senior championship coming up this weekend.
Right.
And I'm glad you brought up the weather, because I spoke to God yesterday, and I said, God, I said, the golf course, with all this heat, it's very hard, and we need to soften it up, because it's the men's senior championship. We need to give these guys a chance to, you know, throw some darts at the greens, and, you know, it can't be hard and fast. We need to soften it up a little bit, maximize scoring, you know, because I'm on the golf professional side, so I like low scores. You know, the superintendent, he's on the protect the golf course side. Let's make it super hard. So, yes, so God on cue, he overdid it a little bit this morning. But,
you think?
You know, just slightly, but that's his thing,
right.
You know.
Yep.
Just ask Noah. And truth be told, we're really excited about hosting that event this weekend. But
good.
What was really cool was last weekend, on Saturday morning, we had our men's Governor's Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
And the final match was contested between, it's a two-man team event. So it's like partners competing against one another in a golf battle royale for 18 holes. And Matt Tomasi and Dave Shillaber took on Dave Lidstone and Bill Spaun. And it was all four of these guys. I know you don't know them, you know, as golfers per se. I know you know them as celebrities, Al.
Right.
But these guys are perennially tournament finalists at the club. So this was like truly a clash of the titans, you know, like Harry Hamlin type stuff.
Got it.
And so these guys got out there and they contested their match last Saturday. And I'm proud to announce that our 2018 Governor's Cup champions, I'm going to give them a quick shout out. That's Matt Tomasi and Dave Shillaber. So congrats on getting a little gold paint. And what gold paint is kind of lingo around the club, Al, where in the Hall of Champions, we have all these old wooden boards. And on the wooden boards, the names are inscribed from all of the winners in gold paint. So for someone to earn gold paint is a big deal. And speaking of big deals, Al, did you know the World Cup was going on?
I do know the World Cup is going on.
So the World Cup kind of blows my mind.
Why is that?
Because as a golf professional and a very proud PGA professional, people complain to me all the time. They're like, watching golf is like watching paint dry. And I'm like, come on. I was like, look at the way that guy shaped that shot, or look at that putt, or look how quiet the crowd and active they are. I mean, all of these really, really cool things, right? And, you know, soccer fans, they go nuts all the time. They're like, oh, that was a great match on the pitch. It was 0-0 or 0-0. And I'm like, awesome. So nobody scored. And everyone kind of bounced the ball around between their feet and their head the whole time, wishing they could use their hands.
Right.
And I'm saying to myself, how is this the most popular sport in the world?
It is. You're right.
And it's over in Russia. Now, when they had the Olympics in Russia, no one even knew where Sochi was, right?
Right.
But now everyone's tuning into Russia, and they're watching the World Cup, and the U.S. isn't even in it. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole other conversation on a different Fox Sports show. But we're golf here. So why golf in the World Cup? Well, what I think is interesting is that there's a lot of parallels here. And we'll go back to the 0-0 thing.
Yeah.
Soccer is the most popular sport in the world. All right, to the tune of roughly, you know, people think the Super Bowl, you know, Americans can be very egocentric at times. You know, the world revolves around us,
right.
You know, a la Mr. President. So the Super Bowl is like our ultimate sporting event. And roughly last year, 110 million people tuned into the Super Bowl, right? But the World Cup final, the last time they had it was in 2014, and the World Cup final, 110 million for the Super Bowl, mind you, right?
Right.
World Cup final in 2014 between Germany and Argentina. They sent the broadcast out to 3.2 billion people. And 1 billion tuned in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know 1 billion is just slightly higher than the number of our average listenership. But 1 billion versus 110 million for the Super Bowl gives you an idea that soccer is hands down the most popular sport in the world.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So the reason, and I'm going to make a point here soon. Trust me.
Sooner or later.
The reason I'm paralleling this with golf is that I think about that. If soccer fans that are fanatics can get all excited about 0-0, those are the ones that don't want to change the game. Those are the ones that kind of want to keep the equipment the same. And you know, obviously the athletes now are better than the athletes then, except maybe, you know, Pele. So years ago, there was Jack Nicklaus, right? So there's definitely outliers. There always has been. But the idea that it's the same game, played on the same size field with the same ball. Mm-hmm. And if people shoot lower scores or it's more, they can kick the ball a certain way better now, so be it. But I love that soccer doesn't want to change anything and that they're not always talking about like, oh, we need to roll back the equipment or the weight training or this or that. It's like, no, they're just like, hey, the World Cup's going to have a billion people watch it, the final. Right. And I'm sure there's, you know, millions, tens of millions of people tuning into Belgium and Brazil right now. Great, right? But so this age-old argument about the traditionalists in golf, and they're always talking about, well, you know, they hit the golf ball too far. Who cares, right?
Right.
You know, I always bring this director of fun outlook to our discussions.
Right.
And so today's kind of take is that, you know, everyone knows the World Cup's going on right now, and they're really, really excited about it. But what's most interesting to me is that soccer is not trying to change anything. And it grows in popularity all the time.
Yeah, it does.
It's the number one youth sport in America. And I know that the PGA of America looks towards groups like soccer and Little League Baseball to try to learn more how to grow their sport. And that's fantastic. But when the Masters, which is the most watched golf event, mm-hmm. only gets about 12 million viewers, and soccer gets 1 billion,
yeah.
I think it's kind of cool that if you look at that and they say, well, if they're not going to change the soccer ball, right, mm-hmm. why should we be changing the golf ball?
It's true.
Right? Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy.
Right? You know, if the traditional game works for them, and sure, has it evolved in the last 50 years? Of course soccer's evolved.
Mm-hmm.
But the pure game in and of itself, the size of the field, the makeup of the team, the balls, it's all the same. Well, if scientists have found different ways to create soccer athletes to make them better professionally, and they've thought of different ways to create clubs and or to train or to teach the golf swing better, so be it. That's like evolution.
Right.
That's like, you know, discounting the iPhone just because it's like way too useful. You know, I don't want that. It's too useful.
Yeah, I don't need that.
I don't even need the flip phone. I want to go back to the one that's attached to my car, you know, the Zach Morris special. So it's just, I was coming across this thing today, and I just thought it was kind of like just an interesting type of thing I wanted to bring to the listenership and have you all think about. If you're not going to change the soccer ball and a billion people are still watching, can we forget the conversation about changing the golf ball and just get more and more people watching and get more people excited about what golfers can do and, you know, the expertise that they show on TV? And, you know, this week their PGA Tour is out at the Greenbrier and, you know, leading the way. Webb Simpson yesterday, he shot 61, so he was 9 under par, and he was a couple over this morning, but the Greenbrier is a par 70, and you got Phil Mickelson and Bubba Watson and all the big names there, and you know, everyone's getting geared up for the next major, which is the British Open a couple weeks away. And you know, the speaking of majors, Al, we have a major coming to Springdale.
Oh, yeah?
At the end of the month, right, we're going to host the AJGA, which is the American Junior Golf Association. And I have a read here from them. And, you know, on July 30th to August 1st, Springdale Golf Club is hosting the Stu Francis AJGA Championship. This premier international junior golf tournament will bring the best boys and girls talent in golf to Princeton. If you are interested in volunteering for the event or would like to come out and spectate, please contact the professional shop at Springdale by calling 609-924-3198. Let's show these great golfers what it means to have an extraordinary Princeton experience. So the American Junior Golf Association is the premier, think of it as the PGA Tour of golfing for men and women or boys and girls ages 18 and under. And Princeton University and Springdale are sponsoring this event. At the end of the month, it's, again, July 30th is the qualifying day, and then the tournament will be played 54 holes, 36 on Tuesday the 31st, and then finish up on August 1st with 18 more holes. And they'll crown a boys and a girls champion, and we're so proud to host them there. And it's just one of those cool things where we're going to have this moment in time at the club where, you know, the world's best junior golfers, and truly, I've already looked at the field. You can look it up at ajga.org, and you can look at the players that are coming, and it's the nation's best boys and girls, and there actually are some international players. It's going to be really, really cool.
Sounds like fun.
You know, what I'll do is I'll get you a media pass, Al, and you can come over, and you can check it out one day, and we'll walk the links with the kids, and we'll show you some good shots. But these kids are, you know, we host the men's in Princeton Division I golf tournaments each year for the men and the women, and those players are good. But this is even a more extraordinary level. You know, a lot of these kids that come to this event, you know, when I say a lot, maybe two or three boys and two or three girls will probably end up on the PGA Tour someday.
Wow.
In some capacity. And that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the club's super psyched about it. And I know our committee is hard at work. You know, Jen Green's out there getting volunteers and Martha Love and her marketing committee. And Robert Mangone is in charge of hospitality. And most importantly, my main man, Mario Tomasi, is doing fundraising. And, you know, we're just really looking forward to showing them this wonderful Princeton experience. And if you can come out and volunteer, we'd just love to have you out there. Now, getting back to the PGA Tour, I caught this thing on social media. You know how I love social media.
I do.
Right?
Yep.
And I caught this cool thing yesterday where Phil Mickelson was talking about chipping. And he gave his three keys to chipping. And it was just in a tweet. So I'm going to make it as fast as the tweet. And his three keys were, you got to make sure that your weight's always on your front foot. Mm-hmm. For him, it's his right foot. He's lefty. But for most of us, it's our left foot. And then the second thing was, is that you got to decide whether you want to hit a high or a low shot. Now, this is Phil Mickelson saying this, and he knows what he's doing, right? So if you want to hit a high shot, put it in the front of your stance. If you want to hit a low shot, put it in the end of your stance, or the back of your stance, the rear of your stance. And then the third thing is get the handle ahead of your hands. Do those three things, and you'll chip it like Phil Mickelson. All right, I'm getting the call sign for the break right here from Al. So we jumped right through that, right now we're going to jump into break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the designer of Operation 36, which is a junior golf and player development curriculum. His name's Ryan Daly, and he's got some great information for us. Be back in a couple, folks.
The New Jersey Golf Foundation, the charitable arm of the NJPGA section, is committed to positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf, with a focus on three core pillars: youth, military, and special needs, the NJGF delivers dynamic programming under the guidance of PGA professionals, so individuals from all backgrounds can experience the game of golf in a welcoming environment. To support the NJGF or learn more about programs and special events, visit njgolffoundation.org. That's njgolffoundation.org.
So how do you like it?
So what is it? I'm curious.
You like it like this?
My God, do we love football.
Or like this?
I love the sport of baseball.
And what about this?
You can have a sports show without all the vicious talk.
Simple human decency.
Whatever it is that you like.
Yeah, I like chaos.
We've got it covered.
Right?
Right?
It's sports the way you like it.
My friends, you may not know this. It's got everything you want.
On Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
Let's get back on course as Springdale Golf Live continues on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Once again, Keith Stewart.
There it is again, Al.
Yes,
I love it. I love it. We got the beat. All right.
See the kids just getting out of school. They can't wait to hang out and be cool.
Oh, yeah, man. I love it. Song of the Week, We Got the Beat by the Go-Go's. And one thing's for sure, when we're talking about the kids getting out of school, we got to talk about, in the PGA world, getting the kids to play junior golf, Al. Mm-hmm. And on the line right now, we have a good friend of the show. His name is Ryan Daly. Now, Ryan Daly, he lives down in North Carolina, and he has been a vanguard junior golf leader for as long as I've known him, which is in excess of 10 years.
Wow.
Now, he's not the world's most snazziest dresser, and he knows it. And he's probably giggling to himself right now about that. But he is a fantastic junior golf leader. And he and his partner, Matt Regan, have this program that they designed called Operation 36. And we use it over at the club. And I wanted to have him on because it's junior golf camp time all over the Northeast. And all of our listeners, whether they be parents or other PGA professionals, I wanted to talk about some best practices, and there's no one better to talk to best practices about in junior golf than my man Ryan Daly. Ryan, welcome to Springdale Golf Live.
Well, thank you so much, Keith, for having me. I do want to let you know that my leathers do match right now. My belt and shoes match, and I appreciate that advice from you.
Well, Ryan, my retort to that would be, you do know that we're on radio.
Oh, shoot, that's right. I'm sorry.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. Let's just get right into it, because you have so much good content, and I know my listeners can go to your website afterwards, but let's get right into it. Back in 2010, you're developing all of this junior golf curriculum, and you guys start Operation 36. Now, members at the club know what this is at Springdale, but not everyone here in Central Jersey and those that listen to us nationwide online know what Operation 36 is. Give me your 30-second elevator speech here.
Sure. So Operation 36, what it is today, is nowhere near where it was in 2010. I mean, we had tons of failures, tons of stumbling blocks, but what it's come down to is, we start kids close to the hole. We also have an adult program now. You start 25 yards away from the hole. Every hole is a par four, and your goal is to play 9 holes and beat 36. And once you do, then you go back to 50 yards and do the same thing. You keep repeating that until you get back to the tee box. It's just a very less intimidating way to learn the game of golf. You have success on the front end, which motivates you to continue, and that's my 30-second spiel on that. But where it is today, it's not even close to where it was when we started. It was just we were fortunate that we stuck with it long enough to figure out how to do it, but it was a debacle at the beginning.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not a debacle now. I know you guys have reached over 17 different clubs are using the program here in New Jersey. It's extremely successful at Springdale for us. The kids love it. And that's not even getting into the multimedia platform that you guys are using, which we could talk a little bit about later. But really what it's all about is this idea, this concept you guys talk about of your tee box. Could you tell me a little bit more about what your tee box means? I mean, you touched on a little bit with the 25-yard thing, but the basis or how this program is written and the fact that it works for adults and juniors makes it even better. But talk about your tee box and how you guys came up with that concept.
Sure. So I guess I would start with saying that one of the biggest concepts that we figured out along the way is that you actually have to play golf to get better at golf. And that was a concept that I didn't quite understand when I was in high school and college, and I would just pound balls on the driving range, trying to figure out how to get better, and my scores didn't improve. But what we figured out by running this for the last 10 years in the matches is that, just like anything in life, if you stick with it long enough, you're going to succeed, but you have to start at a tee box where you can have some sort of success so you don't get so frustrated finding the ball in the trees or making huge numbers and scores or being on the golf course for a long period of time that you'll want to continue. So all your tee box is, if you want to coin it that way, which is perfectly fine, is that we're going to start somebody so close that they're going to have some sort of success for a complete beginner. And then even our intermediate to advanced players from 25 yards away, we try to get them to shoot the lowest score possible. And the lowest we've ever had is, I believe, an 18. Somebody scored an 18 from 25 yards away, which is incredible to me. And then your tee box just means you keep going back until you reach your challenge point. So, for example, my son and I right now are going through this. He came up to me last week. He said, "Dad, you haven't played golf in so long. Will you go out to the course and play with me?" I said, "Sure, buddy, I'll go out, and you're going to play from 150 yards because that's where he's at. He's beaten 25, 50, 100, and he's at 150. And he said, "Dad, where do you think you can shoot 36 from?" I said, "Well, bud, it's been so long since I've played. Why don't I try the red tees?" So I tried the red tees. We walked 9 holes. I ended up shooting 37. So that was really enjoyable for me because that was close to where I could have success. If I would have gone to the back tees and shot a 49 or 50, that wouldn't have been enjoyable for me. So hopefully that helps explain kind of my tee box.
Yeah, I just wanted to develop that a little bit. And we'll touch more about how the program gets you to play more golf. But what's most interesting to me, you talk about the players having success, but you guys have had tremendous success. I mean, you're at over 300 clubs nationwide now, and you're touching more than 15,000 golfers. And a lot of that success, I believe, comes from when my staff and I, we delve into the curriculum. There are all these games there to play with the kids. And, you know, there's different games like Landmine, and the other day they were doing one called Pizza Party. And these are actual games that the kids are playing. And as they learn to play golf, and I can remember when I took junior golf, it was like, go putt from 3 feet for about 2 hours and then, right. You know, and you know, I want to go out and play these games. Could you give the listeners an idea of some of your favorite games that you've had developed or you've developed through your network of coaches that are like the best practice ones? And, you know, I could bring some back to Springdale for our kids.
Sure. So I mean, that's a great point. Well, when we first started out, we would just throw golf balls out there and say, kids hit it and have fun. And then they get bored and then they quit. And we're like, all right, this isn't working. So Matt and I did a deep dive into, you know, why are these kids addicted to video games? What is the deal? Why are they just sitting on the couch for 8 hours doing this? And that led us down a path of finding the best gamification expert in the world, which is UK Chow. And we studied him and studied him and studied him. And a lot of this has to do with Keith just building the narrative around the story. So, for example, my four-year-old son at home, he walks around in his Spider-Man costume because he still thinks he's Spider-Man. And mom and dad, we act like we're a superhero with him, and he has a blast. And then as you get older, you change the narrative a little bit. So maybe for my 9-year-old, it might be slightly different narrative than my 4-year-old, and then it'll be a very different narrative for maybe a college prep player. But a lot of the games that you're referencing are kind of for that niche age group between like 6 and 13. And, man, we've got some great ones. A lot of them revolve around figuring out how to two-putt. Because we figured out that two-putting, when you're on the putting green in these Operation 36 9-hole matches, is hands down the most important skill to have if you want to shoot 36 or better. And so from that, we've tried to develop some different games, Pizza Place, Landmine, Dynamite, Firestarter, all these different ones that are really cool sounding to the kids. And then they get really excited, and maybe making that 3-foot putt isn't boring to them because we're putting a narrative around it that that's an explosion. That's a bomb going off, and the students go crazy and they get all excited. And then you bring in other gamification pieces like leaderboards and badges that the kids get. And then there's the boss fights where if they beat the game, they get to take on Robbie Fenton in a game to see if they can beat the boss, or they take on Keith Stewart to see if they can beat the boss. And those are really, really fun. And the kids actually come to class now and they're like, "Coach, I want to play lagging for gold." "Oh, you want to work on your lag putting? Awesome, let's play lagging for gold." And we use these yellow golf balls that look like gold. And it's nothing different, I think, than what other sports, other activities are doing. It's just taken golf a while to evolve. And when I go watch my daughter in gymnastics, they're doing the same thing. They're using gamification principles in Boy Scouts, in scouting, when I go watch my son and help him with that. So it's just, I think golf has kind of lagged a little bit. And Matt and I just were extremely fortunate from a timing perspective to come along and be one of the first. If we came along 20 years later, I think everybody would have figured it out.
Well, I think that, you know, you guys came up with a really special concept here. And we're talking to Ryan Daly. Ryan is the designer of Operation 36. It, you know, probably started out in their minds as a junior golf development program, but it works just as well for beginner adults as well. It's truly universal. And we're getting into the gamification of the game of golf, which truly it is. And, you know, where can some of our coaches and teachers look for resources or references for some of these games? You know, where are some? I know they can go to the Operation 36 website and, you know, they can join your professional network. But also, where do you guys go for your inspiration? You know, give our listeners a little idea of where they can kind of spice up their gaming life.
Sure. I'll give you my secret. I just sit behind my son when he's on the iPad and I watch him play. And I take notes while he's playing different games. His big thing now is Minecraft, which I'm sure every listener has seen and heard. I mean, it's an unbelievable game. Every kid is addicted to it. And I just sit behind it and take notes. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of a neat idea. You get to build your own, you know, castle. Okay, well, how do we bring that into golf? Okay, we got some cones. We got some string. Let's do some type of Minecraft game, and all I do is just basically copy Minecraft into a game, and then we use that in golf. Same thing as like Battleship. I'm sure, Keith, you played Battleship growing up. My son and I have played Battleship a lot here at the house, and then you just go to the golf course and you outline some different battleships on the putting green. You call this one a destroyer, you call this one an aircraft carrier, and it's amazing when you as the coach are saying these words in front of the children. They're starting to get excited. They're like, a destroyer, a battleship, an aircraft carrier. Oh, my goodness, coach, this is going to be so much fun. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, all right, we're still on a piece of grass. We've got this round ball and a stick. And I have just made this round ball, stick, and a hole into this unbelievable carnival circus-like atmosphere just based on my creativity. And the neat thing about the network, now that we're at over 335 facilities, is that it's not just me anymore. It's these other coaches starting to create these unbelievable games for these kids that, I mean, like I said, the kids come running down the hill from school and they're like, coach, I cannot wait to play Battleship today. I saw it on the schedule. I know it's crazy sock week. Here's my crazy socks that I wore this week. Let's go play Battleship. And you're like, man, this is how it should be. This is the way I wish it was presented to me when I grew up, instead of, you know, here's a basket of balls, fire away. And after you top a few, after you miss a few and you shank a few over to the right, you're like, maybe this isn't for me. And we're just trying to make it so every single kid can walk away from the course and raise their hand and say, I am good at this, I can do this, and I want to get better. And that's really what it boils down to. And that's what I, every day, I just pull my hair out trying to figure out how I make it, how Matt and I, working together, Matt Reagan and I, how can we make every kid who comes in say, I can do this? And that's kind of our mission. And then we've just added some coaches along the way that agree with our mission.
Well, I'll tell you, to my listeners, if you can't hear the passion and the joy in our guest, Ryan Daly, who is the creator, co-creator of Operation 36, if you can't hear the passion and the creativity and the infectious nature with which he talks about teaching kids and growing the game, then play it back and listen to it again, because this is just awesome, awesome radio right now. So one of the key things that I love about your program versus other programs is that you take players to the golf course. Whether they be adults or juniors, people learning the game get on the golf course right away. So talk to me about how that progression happened.
Sure. I guess to bring you up to speed, like currently, if a mom or dad calls me, or an adult calls us and says, hey, we want to learn the game of golf. We're a beginner golfer. My first response now is, oh, Saturday night we have a match. Come play in a 9-hole match. And they're like, what? everybody told me to win the game of golf, I got to be on the driving range and learn the grip, and then I got to learn the posture, and I got to do all this before I can earn my right to play on the golf course. And I'm like, no. We do it differently here. You're going to play the game, just like basketball, just like ice hockey, just like anything else. You're going to play the game, and then you're going to tell me after if you think this is something for you. You're not going to evaluate yourself on the range compared to somebody who's been playing for 15 years next to you and say this isn't for you. So we kind of put the model that way. And some of the parents are shocked. They're like, you're going to put my son, who's 9, on the golf course? Yeah, he's going to play from 25 yards away. He's just going to watch what's going on and learn, and he's going to have a blast. And every single time they come off the course, they're like, Mom, Dad, I shot 41. I had so much fun. Well, and the dad's sitting there going, I've never shot 41 in my life. What's going on?
Yes. As a dad, I could tell you this much. When my kids come running off this morning from the junior golf program and they've done their match, the first thing they come tell me is their score and how proud they are that they've done better than the week before because they've gone to their classes and they've used your curriculum and they've played your games. It's just been a phenomenal addition to my director of fun atmosphere there at Springdale Golf Club. And it's just been a complete treat for me, and I know for my listeners and all the people out there, whether they be coaches or parents, to hear you talk about how we're going to gamify learning golf and to have some fun. Real quick, what's your website address, and do you have anything coming out that we can get into? 10 seconds, real quick.
Yeah, op36.golf is Matt and I's website for Operation 36. Parents can jump on there, coaches can. We got a book coming out this fall called 615, which has some great stories of parents and kids playing the game of golf and how we've pretty much, statisticized, I call it, how you beat 36. Like, what greens do you have to hit? What putts do you have to have? And then also, starting here shortly, got a blog going on with my son and I as we go through trying to beat 36, my veteran status, I guess, trying to go back and trying to beat 36, and then my son's journey as well. So hopefully a couple of those resources will spike their interest, and certainly appreciate you having me on, and I always love to talk about kids and love to talk about juniors. And the interesting thing is adults are really gravitating towards this, which we had no intention of, the adult market, but they're really taking off, especially the ladies. The ladies love this format.
Well, Ryan, guess what? The program is really, really good, and you guys are infectious. So, all the success that you have, you guys have earned. Thanks so much for being on the show. I'll talk to you soon, bud, okay?
Thanks, Keith.
And so that brings us to the end of Springdale Golf Live for this week. At this time, I got to do my thank yous. Al, appreciate you being at the board.
And, I'm right here.
And the support of my Springdale Board of Governors. Most importantly, to our listeners. Folks, I'm heading to Springdale. Where are you headed? We'll let the tower be your guide. And from Seaside to my buddy Ralph in San Diego, and of course everywhere online, may you all have a Springdale day.
You've been listening to Springdale Golf Live with Keith Stewart. Keith returns to the tee next Friday afternoon at 3 on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.